So let's just start with that. Trying to think out where to start. Well, one thing is, you know, I've been doing a lot of single moms recently. And had a lot of written about that. So why don't you talk to me a little bit about being a single dad? What's it like?
I don't know. I mean, it, you know, it's not much of an answer. It's just what you do. I mean, I was put into it so quickly, and just you just wake up and you got to read stories and you got to make breakfast and you got to, and it's like, what's it like to be married? What's it like to be a, you know, a parent or whatever, you know, to have a pet? You just wake up, you walk the dog, you know, and you don't think about it. The decisions get taken out of it. And you just, I don't know. You know, that's, you know, there's certain things you can do, certain things you can't do, you know, like, but that's life. That's what happens in anything. And so it just, it happened very quickly, but I also think under my circumstances, more help was offered without a whole lot of strings attached, because people just knew that, you know, I was in a whole new situation. It wasn't like a, you know, a marriage breaking up where there were people taking sides or whatever. It was just, you know, this is a tragedy.
Right.
And so I think I know I was very blessed with a lot of people being just helpful.
Right.
You know, so
maybe go back then. So just tell me a little bit, a few words about what your wife was like.
Oh boy, a few words.
Maybe how you met her.
No. Oh, I met her at the photo school, New England School of Photography, where I teach now. But I was a student. I was a first-year student. And my tendency was to always kind of fish off the company pier, you know, with relationships. And she was one of these people that there was a slight interest, you know, back and forth. And I'll never forget the thing that really hooked me was, I was saying something to her in a gallery that she was running. And she just, like, without even turning around, she said, "Ron, you know, some of the things you say, I just get embarrassed for you." Ow. I'm just embarrassed for you. I was like, wow. Okay. And we just, you know, I knew, you know, I mean, I don't know what it was, but I knew that this was the one. I didn't want to screw up. I knew I was in a new chapter of my life, and I also knew I had no emotional, I had no, what I needed to be in this relationship, I didn't have. Because I didn't have, I hadn't been in a relationship like it, you know. But she was patient, she was loving, she taught me how to love, you know. Really, I mean, she was generous enough to teach me, to let me be loved. That, I think that was the bottom line. You know, and she, it's not that she was like a saint and never did any wrong and we didn't have arguments about just life and adjusting and whatever, but she was a very loving, gentle person. That's the best way to describe it. And everything, you know, kind of came from that. And I think part of her shortcomings was...
Daddy,
yes, Kiki?
When
when are you going to have your bagel and cream cheese? In a little bit. That's being a single parent. That's what it is. So we, you know,
when did you get married?
2000. I was 30 years old. So September 9th, 2000. And it was great. And it was, but she did a lot of the planning and everything. And so it was, you know, it was a good marriage. But it was also learning how to be married. I didn't know how to do that or anything. Kiki, do you want to go up and ask the person, make an order for a bagel and cream cheese? $20 makes you less shy. Go.
That's going to work real well, I promise.
Bring change back. Go, bagel and cream cheese right there. And we, you know, we had to learn how to be married. I mean, it's just like anything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? It was, but by the
I've done it twice, so I know.
Yeah. I don't need to tell you anything. Well, I'm going to...
The first time didn't work.
Yeah. I'm going to be doing it twice, too. And it's... You know, what's interesting is right up... You know, she died in 2008. And 2007, after we had moved in and Kiki was kind of up and mobile, I was really it's like a lot of my defenses started coming down, you know? I mean, I think it just, you know, like started settling in and everything was kind of getting okay. And I was taking pictures that were more personal, and I was able to sort of appreciate the little things. Like she was there, Kiki and I are going for a walk, do you want to come? And my first defense or answer would always be, no, I have work to do. And then I realized, you know what, this isn't going to last forever, you know, go. And I'm glad I did, and I'm really glad I did, because I was able to sort of see, and I took my camera, so it gave me an excuse, and really seeing just what love is, you know, and her interacting with Kiki, and sort of realizing that, yeah, this is my life, like, and it's good, it's beautiful. You know, and it's nothing major, nothing grandiose. It was just watching two people interact with each other, you know, and...
You had pictures from those walks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those are the most important things, you know. It's just real simple, you know, and because I always feel like I don't belong anywhere. And when you get to come...
No, it's not mine.
Put it right under the thing. Here. Good. Good. That's precious stuff. Yeah. Now, I never thought that would be the most important stuff in my life, but that is. I mean, at that time, I knew it was important, but you know.
So, yeah. So just tell me a little bit about what happened.
She had the flu. Allergies, and she had the flu, and a temperature, and she. You know, she was in bed for a week, and what happens, and this is an important thing to pass on, is she had a cough as well. So it was kind of pneumonia, to a cough that kept her up. But what happened, you know, and she had a temperature, and then all of a sudden her temperature started she got better. Like, she got better from the flu. But, you know, one day, you know, so that was on Saturday. Like, her temperature was going down, she was kind of feeling better. And then Easter Sunday, she came downstairs and kind of laid out eggs and stuff that she did with Kiki, and then she said, I'm just going to go back up in bed and rest and whatever. I said, yeah, okay, that's fine. And we were on the other side of it. And Sunday night, I slept on the sofa downstairs because she's like, yeah, I think I'm going to keep you up just for coffee. And Monday morning, she came down and said, I really don't feel well at all. I think I want to go to the doctor. And because she didn't want to go to the doctor before, because I don't want to be a bother, you know. Just you don't think there's a problem. So Monday we went and, you know, got a prescription for Mucinex and Robitussin, and then a chest X-ray. And you know, when we got back, the doctor left a message on the machine saying, "Yeah, you got pneumonia. I think we're going to check you in." And by the time we got to the emergency room, she was really, really weak. And then when we got to the emergency room, because that's just how they go to the emergency room, we're going to check you in, that'll be fine. It's just standard procedure.
What hospital is this?
South County. And they were great. You know, South County Hospital in Wakefield. And, thank you.
Thank you.
And she, but she was getting, you know, she was in septic shock. You know, and that's the bacterial pneumonia. It's where your body can no longer fight off the bacteria, and your organs start to shut down. And they had done blood tests. You know, we're just doing these blood tests to make sure that it's not in your blood. That's fine, no big deal. She was lucid until she wasn't. You know, and she kind of became unlucid just as the doctors were walking in with the results of the blood test, saying your wife is having a really hard time breathing. And so we're going to intubate her right now and help her do that. So we have to put her out. And she was really scared. And and it was tough because they were... the last thing she saw consciously was me saying everything's going to be all right. And I love you. And I can still see her scared face. And that's hard. Yeah. And they did a tracheotomy, and she went into cardiac arrest because they couldn't get the tube down her throat because it had swollen shut. And so that's when I just kind of got up from the room and went outside, and that's when I heard we don't have a pulse, and CPR was done, and so on and so forth, and they got that back. And then she never woke up. You know, she was in a coma. She went into ICU. And it took a while for her to, you know, I mean, when I was up there, she was just like a rag doll, more or less, and I had no idea. I think they knew how sick. I mean, they said she's very, very sick. Careful, Keeks. All right, Keeks, be careful. She didn't they said your wife is very, very sick, and there's a chance that she's not going to make it, you know, and you need to know that, you know, but... And so, you know, she was in ICU, and finally they said, there's nothing you can do here, just go home. I got the direct line to the ICU, and, and I woke up at like 1 in the morning and called, no difference, which is fine. I was like, okay, you know, she's whatever. And then I got woken up. I woke up, you know, you just kind of wake up. You do this, you know, and it was kind of really hitting me, you know, like when you go through something like that, and I just started calling out, Lisa, you gotta fight, come on, but just begging her, you know, just talking to the ceiling in the bedroom, fight, you know, fight, 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 please, you know, and then I had this vision of her, and it was of her in this blue turtleneck that she wore, and I thought she looked beautiful in it all the time. And this vision, it wasn't like I actually saw her. Right. Like, she wasn't standing at the foot of the bed, but I can see it plain as day. I mean, right now I see it, you know. And she was smiling. And you know, now I know it was her telling me it was okay. You know, it was okay. And I said, I can call now. I can call the ICU. And I did. And when I did, the phone rang and rang and rang. And I knew then, you know, that it wasn't good. And when they picked up, it was very quick. And I told them who I was, and the doctor, you know, she said, hold on. And the doctor came in, he said she's been in cardiac arrest for the past 20 minutes, or 40 minutes actually, and we've done everything in this hospital that we can do to keep her alive, but the person you know isn't here anymore, and the most helpful thing for everyone would be to stop the code. And I said, okay, you know, I mean, I just, you know, it's like you're on autopilot, it just, you know, I didn't even think twice. And so that's what I did, you know, and my sister and her partner were down, and I just went into the guest bedroom and told them, and it was just 5:30 in the morning, just realizing Lisa's dead.
Which day was this, though? So Easter was Sunday, and then...
Easter was Sunday, she went into the hospital Monday, and she died Tuesday morning, mm-hmm. You know, and it's,
And that was 2008.
Yeah. March 25th. Yeah, March 25th. Because it was on one of her best friend's birthdays, too, which is just not...
How old was she?
She was... She won't mind that I forget how old she was. I think she may have been like 44 or something like that. She'll always be 29 to me. But it, you know, and it just, from that moment, I was never alone in the journey, ever, ever, ever. I called people, I was surrounded by people who had been through exactly what I've been through. My father-in-law, for one, my priest at my church went through almost exactly what I went through. Two priests, there was a retired priest. Yeah,
nice.
You are a mess. Yeah. Why don't you use that napkin? And it just, it was not easy. It's like, you know, getting, there's no way to describe it, and there's no point in describing it, you know.
So how old was Kiki then?
Kiki was 3. It was tough, actually, having to explain to her that her mother isn't coming home. That was a hard conversation that I got to do.
What'd you say?
Oh, gosh, I forget. She was over at my sister-in-law's house just playing, and she just was, kept on looking down at the trains, playing with them. And I just told her that Mom was sick and really sick. And in a way that made it that she couldn't come back and she died. And she just never looked up. She just kept on playing. And that was it. You know, it's like, guess what? You know, and I felt so... The thing that kills me... That, I won't say killed me, but the thing that hurts the most, and I kept on saying over and over, is that, you know, it's just all she wanted to do. I mean, I'm a selfish, petty person. It's not to say that she was a saint. But man, all she wanted to do was be a mom to this little girl. That's it. Like, she found her job. She loved it. You know? And the truth being that she doesn't get to do that just seems so unfair. That she didn't have these... It's like, well, I'll never be a Broadway star now. It's like, she just... All I want to do is be a mom. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't get to do that. Mm-hmm. You know? And I don't have, you know, I don't have opinions about the afterlife or whatever. I don't know, you know. But I do know that, you know, I gotta honor that memory.
Right.
You know? And it hasn't been a challenge. It hasn't been like, oh, I gotta, right, you know, care and keep.
Pretty damn cute.
Yeah. I think I'll keep her. I'm not gonna sell her to a gypsy just yet. But, you know, it's, you know, and, you know, a day at a time.
Yeah.
Day at a time.
Yeah,
you know, and I had people call me every day, say, how are you feeling?
Yeah.
I don't know. And it's, you know, it's not like you get these monolithic feelings, like, I feel sad.
Right.
I feel happy. It's like, I feel really happy, and I feel awful that I can feel happy in a world that Lisa's not in.
Right.
Yeah. That's how it comes at you.
Yeah.
There's no, and today, you know, as you know, I did get engaged. I found someone, or you know, someone was put in my life. I didn't find them. I was watching the Discovery Channel when it, and you know, I just, they, you know, life moves on, but it's, you can never reconcile it. You know, you can never, like, I'm happy today. There's joy in my life, but. And I can't say, boy, I'm so glad that Lisa died so I can have this joy. You know, like, that's not how it works. But there is joy,
right,
you know, and good things, and I'm great, and lots of gratitude. You know? And it was a day at a time, and it's not, it's like, you know, it's like some days, the priest said it best. He said, you know, some days you're right on the playing field. And some days you're right on the sidelines, or is it, you know, and then you're in the bleachers, and then you're in the press box, then you can be in the blimp, and you can go from the blimp to the playing field instantly. You know, and I think you saw some of that. And it's just like, you know, I was thinking about that when I was coming up. It's like, I avoid talking about this, or I avoid things that I don't avoid, but I just don't go near them because I know I don't. I don't have the strength anymore to fight it. You know, it hurts. And it's sad. Yeah. It is sad. You know. You know, and there are things that I just don't... I don't limit my life by any stretch of imagination, but I just... there are always things, you know, remembering those things, they're never going to feel good. Like, oh yeah, that day, you know, it was the worst day of my life. Worst day of my life. Seeing the person you care the most about in this world, aside from Kiki. You know, through no fault of your own, you know. But I'll tell you something, it's not like, I mean, you could do this with anything. I was there for the week. I was complaining that she was faking it or what. I mean, it's like, you know, all these things. It's like, harden up. You gotta, you know, just, and to have it just incrementally, and looking back and seeing, like, it wasn't any, yes, Keeks. All right, you're full of bagel. Well, why don't you wrap it up? You might be able to eat it later. Want more hot chocolate? All right.
Now wash my hands.
Yeah, that might be a good idea. Wash your hands. you know, it's I lost my train of thought, but it just kind of, it, you know, it's hard, it's the worst day of my life.
Right. You're saying that kind of an incrementally grew.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's, and that's what I realized. It's like nothing happens immediately, you know. Now, there's not like this, you know, bucket of tragedy that just gets dumped on you. It's like a drip, and then it just kind of explodes. And it was like, you know, and it's your own best, and I think the thing that kills me is that it's your own best thinking. It's like, well, yeah, she does have 104 temperature. I'll check it later on this afternoon, and if it goes down, we're okay. Well, why don't you just ask for a napkin? Ask for more napkins. Go for it. They'll give you a napkin. Don't worry. Yeah, and that's, you know, and you could say that if it was a car accident. It's like, oh, I should have asked her for, you know, that $5 bill or whatever. So she had to look for it so it wouldn't, you know, she wouldn't be in the intersection. I mean, it's just, you just play coulda, shoulda, woulda. You know, and it always, for me, and I think this is, you know, God or whatever you want to call it, that God always finishes that sentence with, I should have had a crystal ball. You know. And you didn't.
You after.
Kiki, I'm in the middle of talking, and you know how I like to talk. Why don't you
I think
it?
There's some right on there. There's a little counter on the far side.
Yeah.
If you right by the bathroom.
Yeah, maybe. Go right by the bathroom. You'll do good.
So how's the experience affected your faith?
Never shook it. I never felt alone. I mean, and it was just, you know, I think it's expanded it, you know, for sure. It challenged it, but I never stopped believing, and I never
think.
All right, we'll pause. Oh,
this is nice. Leave it on. Okay.
All right. How come you're so pretty, Kiki?
There you go.
No. There you go, Keeks. So
it expanded your... So.
Well, it was never about, like, how could God do this to me?
Right.
And how could, you know, why is this being done to me?
Right.
My priest, who went through this very same thing, he said, God didn't want Lisa to die.
Right.
Like, that's not God's plan. God's plan and how God works is that He always creates a space where good can come out of any tragedy. And that I believe.
Right.
And that's what helped, you know, and I believe, you know, I immediately thought, I don't know what I was thinking that day, but I remember thinking sometime very quickly, good has to come from this. I have, you know, and I can share this, you know, because of the experiences that we have with sharing experience, strength, and hope. You know, it's like, I have to survive this, and good can come out of it, and I have to, my job is to look for it, and to be open to it,
right.
You know, and because that's what saved me, is someone saying, I know exactly what you've been through,
you know,
and not just one person, but six. I had six men who had lost their wives, who had been through it, you know, and not just, you know, and that's a miracle.
Yeah.
But that's not a mirror, that's just how it works.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And so
how do you talk about the mom now?
I never, you know, whenever she wants to talk about her mom, we just talk about it. And sometimes it's sad, you know. But most times it's good. You know, she'll ask about mommy, you know. And I have a lot of her stuff, you know, so when she gets older she can sort of see it. Lisa kept journals for Kiki of all the things that they did, and such a gift. I mean, a total gift, like written to Kiki about what we're doing, and I'm so grateful because I don't remember,
right.
You know, and it's just like, that's, I could never describe Lisa the way Lisa can speak, you know, and that's so, it's been a blessing in a strange way.
Yeah. You know?
And
so how do you think it's affected your photography?
Oh, easy. I can tell you that. I just stopped. Lisa was such a good photographer, and she was also very non-commercial. I mean, she had a commercial brain, but she just couldn't get her head around what she had to do to And I kind of just stopped care. I just, the first, I had a show in 2008 in the fall, and I had to shoot for it. And I was trying to figure it out, and I just, you know, I don't have the energy. I just don't have the energy to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to get simple. You know, I'm going to go back. I just look for beautiful things. I'm just going to do that. And if it pleases me, I'll make a picture of it. So I stopped worrying about, I mean, I still worry about it, but I stopped worrying as much. I became myself. I became the photographer, you know, because...
So it kind of stripped away the pretension.
Yeah, it blew everything out, you know, and that's the only way to, every little petty insecurity, because, you know, what I always fall back on is, there isn't someone's not on this planet who would love to switch places with me. You know, like, Lisa, if she could, would love to switch places. And there are times where I would love for her to switch places, because, you know, when you go through something like that, you realize just how hung up on dumb things you can be. And it's, you know, you're not an idiot for being hung up on dumb things, you know. None of that really matters, you know. And what matters is being that conduit for the creation,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And being a good dad, and hoping she's not getting some kind of nasty bacteria.
Right now. She plays in the puddle over there.
Well, she'll be fine. You know. So yeah, I think I've gotten more honest in my work. I've been able to see honesty better. You know, but that's still, it's not like you're free of it all. You know,
yeah,
it's like, you know, when you go through something, any deep experience like that, you still, you know, you're still who you are, you know, and it's foolish to think, well, I'll never be petty, I'll never get fearful, I'll, you know, because I have this memory. It's like,
right.
I'm petty, I'm fearful, I procrastinate, I got work to do. I realize my work now is more about mortality and spirit and faith, and it's always been that, but I've just been afraid to talk about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, because I'm afraid of what people will think.
Yeah.
But I'm realizing more and more people need to hear that.
Yeah.
Because I needed to hear that. And I don't think I think I'm... The experience of what I... The support that grew up around me with Lisa is a good reminder that I'm never alone. And there are people out there who've been through what... Who feel the way I still feel. Who are going through what I'm going through. And, you know, they can help me and I can help them.
Sure.
So.
But yeah, just by way of background, so my second wife, I was divorced for 6 years and I never found anyone who I could frankly trust with the kids that I had by my first marriage.
Oh, yeah.
And so my second wife was married... in her late 20s, and mm-hmm. Her husband got testicular cancer on their honeymoon.
Oh, that's good.
And was dead within a year. And I was in love with her before I kind of knew the story.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think hearing her story
mm-hmm.
Made me trust her.
Oh, yeah.
In a way that, because as you say, kind of, if you go through something like that,
yeah,
you know what the real deal is.
Yeah.
And it's like all this bullshit just kind of falls away.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
It's not like I replace her late husband, but at the same time, the fact that she went through that experience is what, in a way, bonded us.
Yeah.
Because it made me see what an amazing person she is.
Yeah. Well, I always, you know, for a while... When I was using my experience quietly to feel superior to everyone, you know, when I would have students who would have said, "Oh, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can do that."
Right.
I always think, you know what? I didn't think I could dig a hole and bury my wife either, but I did that. So shut the fuck up. You know. But that's also something. You know, it's like I did do that. I got to, you know what, and I didn't do it alone. That was God's help. That was, you know, I was surrounded by people who love me. You know, but I did do that. And there are things I, you know, like what I think I can't do, I think I sell myself short.
Right.
So. Yeah. Kiki, why don't you be a good girl and put some hand sanitizer on? Yeah. It'll be fun. Oh, just
inside.
Fun.
Inside.
It's right over there. It's in the orange thing right by the cash register. In 5, 4.
So let me, we have this little quiz we do.
All right.
So let's finish up on that.
Okay.
Who taught you about manhood?
My dad.
Has romantic love, how has romantic love shaped you as a man?
I think it made me a man.
What two words would you use to describe your dad?
Not to be cliche, but good man.
How are you most unlike him?
I don't have as many books.
From which of your mistakes did you learn the most?
Of my mistakes did I learn the most?
Daddy, I finished my hot chocolate.
Good girl. Yeah, hit it.
Well,
I gotta
open
figure
it.
Out what's my big mistake.
No,
where's my money?
Whatever comes to mind first usually is the best thing.
Daddy,
yeah.
Where's my money?
It's your money now, huh?
It's in my pocket, so it didn't blow away. All right, there you go, Keeks. You might want to get a straw.
Okay.
What did I learn? It's the little things. Don't take little things for granted.
Yeah.
Like that, shit happens. I mean, that's a cliche, but like my biggest mistake was not paying attention to the little thing, the little signposts.
Yeah.
And I learned that, with Lisa. Like, she's really sick. It's not, my best thinking is not always correct.
Right.
So.
Right. How would the women in your life describe you, and is it true?
How would they describe me?
Yeah.
Well, I think they would describe me as a good guy. And yes, it is true.
Who's the best dad you know, and what
mine.
Does he do?
Mine. And he's retired.
Do you think you've been more successful in your public or private life?
Like
your work life or your private life?
Oh, my private life. You should buy some of my art. You should buy a lot of my art.
I will.
I didn't find a straw.
I think I know the answer to this question. When was the last time you cried? About 10 minutes ago.
About 10 minutes ago.
What advice would you give teenage boys trying to figure out what it means to be a good man?
Stop fighting anything and anyone.
Daddy, I feel like I'm gonna say this.
Okay, good idea.
Last question. We're almost done, sweetie. What's your most cherished guy ritual?
My most cherished guy ritual.
What's that card?
I don't know what guy. I don't
like
know
anything
I,
you do.
Huh?
Like anything that you do that's guy-like.
See, I don't think I have any, like, mow the lawn, but no, that's not.
Mow the lawn.
I don't know.
Sports?
No, I really don't. I mean, I run, but I don't think that's a guy ritual, because there are a lot of girls. I cook, but that's not necessarily a guy ritual. I don't have a whole lot of guy rituals.
Alright.
Spray warm beer on homosexuals, is that? No. No, I don't know. I don't think I have one.
Okay. That's all I got.
Okay.
This is awesome. It's been really great.
Well, I'm glad to help. And you should put my number and have people say, if someone's gone through what I've gone through, they should call me.
Right.
I will take their call.
Alright. I'm going to turn this off. I'll take... So, Lisa...